From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Oh, my goodness. It's spring. The sap is running in your veins, no doubt. We got a great show for you today. Simon Pegg, brilliantly funny British comedian and movie star, will be coming on later. But first, as we start the show, it is time to say farewell to Representative Anthony Weiner. He resigned on Thursday. No. We had our share of fun with his Twitter pic scandal and his name. Maybe more than our share, to be truthful about it. And now he's resigned. It is time to let the man be. In the meantime, we're just going to send good wishes to his replacement, Interim Representative Richard Schlong. He's, by the way, he's not a very formal guy. You can call him Rich, if you like. Let's get on with our show. The number to call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Bob Kleinman from Pittsburgh.
Hey, how are things in beautiful Pittsburgh?
Well, it's fine, thank you.
When I say beautiful Pittsburgh, I mean beautiful Pittsburgh. Beautiful. Nobody told me how gorgeous that city is. It's like you're keeping it a secret.
It's great. You come out of the tunnel, and there it is. It springs upon you.
Oh, really? It's like Oz with a bad baseball team. It's
exactly.
Amazing how beautiful.
Like level 500.
Hey, I know. I speak too soon. You're right. Well, welcome to the show, Bob. Let me introduce you to our panel first. Say hello to a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. Ms. Faith Sagley is here.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Faith.
Next is the man behind the world-famous podcast, Too Beautiful to Live. Mr. Luke Burbank is here.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Luke.
And finally, it's a television personality and a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning. Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hi, Mo.
Monongahela, Bob.
Bob, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle will read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that. You win the prize. Ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Here's your first quote.
Mr. President, you can have all the strokes you want. It'll just cost you $1 trillion per stroke.
That was Speaker of the House John Boehner. He was talking about the scoring system they will use at what significant event this weekend?
I guess they're getting together to play golf.
They are. The Golf Summit, they're calling it. That's right. Very good. After months, if not years, of bitter arguments, the President and Vice President Joe Biden are going to tee off with Speaker John Boehner and Ohio Governor John Kasich. If golf is a good walk spoiled, this is a good walk spoiled three more times. The Golf Summit will be sort of like the Beer Summit President Obama held a few years ago, that difference being Professor Henry Louis Gates was unjustly arrested for the color of his skin, while John Boehner actually deserves to be arrested for the color of his skin.
Don't forget the content of his character.
Absolutely. We predict things will go okay with this. The president and the two Republicans will bond a bit. They'll learn to know each other as people. While Vice President Biden goes off to play with a bucket and a shovel in the sand trap.
I hope they dress appropriately. I feel like...
Define appropriately. It's golf.
Madras. I think Madras is a great equalizer if you're all wearing
those. Those are those fabulous broad plaid shorts.
That's nice. Very Warren Harding.
I like that. Nice. Reaching across the aisle through embarrassment. I could have a real potential.
What do they hope to accomplish? Honestly, are these four millionaires in funny shorts playing golf on a private course going to solve our economic crisis? Sure they are. They're going to do it. And then they're going to go fix Medicare over a polo game and negotiate the end of the Afghan war at a wine tasting in Napa. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Coke or Pepsi? Leno or Conan? Spicy or mild?
Those were some of the trenchant questions asked by CNN's John King at what event on Monday night?
That would be the Republican debate in New Hampshire.
Exactly right.
The one that Johnson did.
So the guys at the National Hockey League were desperate for ratings, and they came up with a brilliant solution. Pay the GOP to have a debate the same night as one of their big games. And Americans were like, oh, look, it's Ron Paul ranting about the Federal Reserve. I'd rather look at padded men hitting each other with sticks. The pundits declared Mitt Romney as the winner of the debate, presumably because he didn't actually shout the words, I'll say whatever you want me to, out loud.
Tim Pawlenty was seen as the loser. I don't know if you followed this, because just the day before he had coined the term Obamacare, you know, to link Romney and the president. Yeah. But when practically begged to do so, Pawlenty wouldn't say it to Romney's face. He blew it. He did something we didn't think Pawlenty could do. He fell even further in the polls. He's now in negative digits, which means that a majority of Americans do not believe he exists.
And then there was that speed round, right? With the
yeah, that was what the Carl was quoting. What John King called it was this or that.
Going in and out of commercials.
Yes, he said he'd pose one question, like, for example, a mild or spicy to Governor Romney in regard to his preference for, I hope, chicken wings. And Romney said, spicy.
CNN, network or nitwits?
I loved the sort of fecundity face-off, because each of the candidates had to introduce him or herself by saying a little bit about their background.
Yes.
And it started off with Santorum, I have 7 kids, and then it went to Bachman, who's got 5 kids and 23 foster kids.
Exactly.
And then it went to Gingrich, who was like, I don't know, I have 6 or 7 wives and 15 foster wives.
That Bachman thing was surprising to me, because one of the stories that came out after the debate was that Michelle Bachman really kind of seized the spotlight by announcing during the presidential debate that she was actually running for president. I thought, how weird would it have been if she said she wasn't running for president?
Bachman, it's very weird. I'm imagining Michelle Bachman going down the aisle at her wedding and then turning around and saying, guys, I'm getting married.
Yeah. Isn't it great?
Like, yeah, we get it. I mean, that's why you're...
All right, this is your last quote. It's from someone trying to look on the bright side of a Broadway musical that finally officially opened this week.
If you're worried that somebody might fall on top of you from a great height, the odds are that you won't nod off.
That was reviewer Ben Brantley of the New York Times. Apparently, actors are no longer falling from the ceiling at what Broadway musical?
That would be Spider-Man.
That would be Spider-Man, although the full title... The full title is Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, whatever the hell that means. Not since Newt Gingrich's presidential campaign have we seen such an unmitigated disaster that refused to die. For 4 months, the show, directed by official MacArthur genius Julie Taymor, with music by genius in his own mind Bono, was the greatest slow-motion disaster in Broadway history, as audiences paid to see 2 hours of incoherent noise livened up only by actors falling from the rigging like spring rain.
I saw it. I actually saw it. I saw 1.0.
You saw 1.0?
Yeah,
and what did you think?
One. I have nothing funny to say about it, except it was just... I felt bloodthirsty. I mean, everybody there, we were rubberneckers.
Well, what we discovered is that the Broadway theatergoers are actually the same kind of people as NASCAR fans. You're only there for the crashes.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was. That's right. It's the NASCAR of musicals. You're right.
Well, what happened was, since you saw it in its 4 months of previews, they brought in a new team. They rewrote the whole thing. They screwed sturdier hooks into the ceiling so the guys wouldn't fall, and it finally opened officially this week, and now it's apparently just another boring mega musical. And so they're worried, you know, with these bad reviews, what's going
to
happen?
Because it needs to make $1 million a week to break even.
Exactly. And so how are they going to do that now that they got these bad reviews? And there's really only one answer. Make it dangerous again. Add a new villain, the sinister banana peel. Loosen one set of wires per night. Don't say whose they are. Carl, how did Bob do in our quiz?
Bob had 3 correct answers, Peter, so Bob, I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Well done, Bob. Thank you so much. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, it's never too early to start thinking about Christmas, because the clear big toy of the holiday season, it's already here in stores. It's a kid-friendly version of something familiar to all adults. It's a kid's what?
It's a kid's version of, not Reader's Digest, I'm just trying to think of something that's like typically adult. It's not going to be skeevy, it's just going to be charming because it's
Well, you'll see little kids playing with it, one of them will say to another, you know, your juice box has to be 3 ounces or less.
Oh, it's a kid's version of airport sort of luggage or airport, like you know, is that what you mean? Like the
Well, you know, kids, one of the things kids like to do, I'm a parent of children, is they like sometimes to, not parent of children as opposed to a parent of eggplants, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to make that clear for you.
Kids look like eggplants.
So, you know, kids, one of the things they like to do when they're kids is they like to play at being different grown-up professions. Kids might want to be policemen or firemen.
Oh, a kid's version of a TSA officer.
Yes, basically the toy is a toy version of a TSA person's scanner wand.
A wand!
Yeah, it's very nice. It's called the Security Scanner. It's at Toys R Us now. According to the box, the detector wand flashes and beeps when it detects metal, just like the real thing. And just like the real thing, it really creeps people out when you wave it at them.
Sure.
If this trend catches on, we're looking forward to other kid toys replicating humiliating and aggravating adult experiences, like the Hot Wheels Traffic Jam playset and the G.I. Joe Prostate Exam Kit.
I spent like years of my life as a small child trying to get the girls in my neighborhood to play doctor, and just think about how easy yes. it would have been if you were like, this yeah. is the rules, you guys. It's a post 9/11 world. I want this wand.
Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, hi, how are you? This is Omar from Evergreen Park, Illinois.
Oh, Evergreen Park. That's near here in Chicago. What do you do there?
I actually work as a medical interpreter.
A medical interpreter?
Yes, sir.
So somebody, the doctor comes out and just speaks medical gibberish, and you turn to the guy and you go, yeah, you're going to die.
Well, not true. I actually speak Polish, and I deal with the Polish patients that come into our facility and help them get what they need.
Well, Omar, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what's Omar's topic?
You're not the audience we had in mind.
Sometimes it happens. You know, you put something out there in the world, and you think you know who's going to go for it. It turns out you're wrong. This week, our panelists are going to read you three stories of things becoming wildly popular in an unexpected way. Choose the true story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I am.
All right, Omar. First, let's hear from Faith Saley.
The Florida prison system is flooded with pacifiers. Not folks who are trained to mediate prisoner tensions. No, we're talking the kind of pacifiers that you put in a baby's mouth. The newest weapon in Florida's campaign to stamp out smoking in prisons is shaped like a nipple. And it's wildly popular. Prison officials began distributing pacifiers when they ran out of nicotine patches. Inmates immediately latched on, some sporting up to 7 at a time around their necks, and many using pacifiers as chips in their poker games. Not only have smoking rates plummeted, so has violence among the soothed prisoners, according to Seth Bernstein, head of Tallahassee Correctional Centers. In fact, he says, one of our most violent gangs has just renamed itself the Binky Boys. And prison guards report that the nights are much quieter, just a lot of sucking noises. The resident dealer at Apalachicola Jail is inmate Tim Emmons, known as Big Papa Passy. Passy admits, I used to have guys trading me 6 Playboys for a pack of smokes, but now they all want the Purple Butterfly Comfort Soother by Playtex. Don't get me wrong, says Papa Passy Emmons. Prison still sucks, but now so do I.
Pacifiers in prisons in Florida. The next story of someone reaching a new audience comes from Luke Burbank.
When the Hub TV network launched its reboot of the My Little Ponies TV franchise, My Little Pony's Friendship is Magic, they hoped that by adding slightly more complex plots and jokes, they might be able to snag a slightly older audience, like, say, 4-year-olds. So imagine their surprise when the show became a huge hit with unemployed adult men in their 20s and 30s who call themselves bronies. Bronies like 32-year-old Luke Allen of Albuquerque while away their days posting fan videos on YouTube, trading ponies. I'll give you a gently used Twilight Sparkle for that mint-conditioned Fluttershy. And likely setting off internet alarms everywhere by cruising My Little Pony chat rooms for the latest gossip. They say they love the show for its excellent animation and subtle references to that other hallmark of high school celibacy, Dungeons and Dragons. For their part, the show's creators say they're pleasantly creeped out, flattered by all the attention.
Bronies, men who like My Little Ponies, a little kids' TV show. Your last story of expanding demographics comes from Mo Rocca.
When grills, the shiny gold and silver platings fitted over teeth, first appeared in the 80s, they were strictly hip-hop. Flava Flav and Big Daddy Kane were among the first wearers. But in Marblehead, Massachusetts, they're less hip-hop than grandpop. At the Gracie Allen Assisted Living Center, too many residents were wandering off the property. So the Allen Center installed metal detectors at all the exits and grills in the mouths of all the residents. Quote, I'm okay with my grandmother looking gangster as long as she's safe, said one concerned relative. The grills can fit overdentures or replace them altogether. 82-year-old Wanda Jackson, nicknamed by staff Lil Wanda, had her grills inlaid with the pearl earrings her husband gave her 50 years ago. Quote, I thought they were awfully strange at first, but then I started listening to Flo Rida and Wiz Khalifa, and now I love my grills. And by the way, happy birthday, Tupac. Keep your head up. I know you're still out there.
All right. One of these stories is true. Is it from Faith? Pacifiers for babies are being used by grown men in a prison in Florida. From Luke, bronies, men who like the My Little Ponies TV show. Or from Mo Rocca, old people in a home sporting grills for their own safety and to let them flash some bling. Which of these is the real story of something that didn't quite reach its intended audience in this week's news?
What do you want to be real?
Well, as much as I would love Mo to be right, I will have to go with Luke. I know enough weird people who would watch something like that.
So you're going to go with Luke. You're going to go with Luke's story. Was bronies the subculture of younger men who really like the kids' TV show My Little Ponies?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we actually spoke to one of these people who has one of these unusual enthusiasms.
My Little Pony, it's not really just about the cartoons and rainbows. They have these really well-animated characters, great personalities and everything.
That was Sean Scodelero, a brony and the creator of the brony blog Equestria Daily.
I'm sure it's out of his mom's basement.
It really is. Congratulations, Omar. You got it right.
You've
earned a point for Luke. You've won our prize. Carol Castle recorded the greeting on your home answering machine. Thanks so much for playing with us today.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Friendship could be
My Little Pony.
Do you know you're all my very best friends?
And now the game where we ask interesting people about things that do not interest them. It's called Not My Job. Simon Pegg is living every nerd's dream, and no, I don't mean the one about someday feeling the touch of a woman. I mean the one where you grow up watching Star Wars and Star Trek and horror movies, and then you start making your own movies, and then one day you're playing Scotty in the new version of Star Trek and starring in Steven Spielberg's new movie. Simon Pegg has a new book out. It's called Nerd Do Well. Simon Pegg, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a thrill to have you.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So, you're living the dream, right? Nerd to star of nerd culture.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it sounds awfully self-aggrandizing to say that, but yeah, I can't help but be quite pleased.
And it's worked out pretty well. And
yeah.
So, when you were growing up, you write about how much, for example, you loved Star Wars. You tell a story about how you kissed your picture of Princess Leia every night before going to bed.
I did, very, very sort of chivalrously. There was no seemliness, and it wasn't like a big snog, which is, you know, like a French kiss. I just used to plant a small peck on her lips every night before bed.
That's really sweet.
Sort of like the one she gives Luke in the first film, of course.
Thank God, too, because we find some stuff out about that relationship.
Yeah, it's not like I was kissing my sister. That would be weird.
No, that'd be awful. And I love the story you tell. You were at a comic convention in 2004, your own movie, Shaun of the Dead, which I can say with confidence is the funniest zombie movie ever made.
Thank you.
You were there.
Eat that, Zombieland.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And I love the story that you were like signing autographs for fans of your movie, and you got up and you ran over to stand in the line to get an autograph from Carrie Fisher.
I did. I wandered over and lined up and waited about an hour, and I came face to face with her, and I told her that story that I would kiss her picture before bed every night, and she sort of looked at me with a slightly worried look in her eye.
Aww.
And she said, "Do you feel better for telling me that?" I just said, "Yes, thank you," and I walked away.
Have you ever actually been starstruck?
I think, you know what, I had another Star Wars experience at Comic-Con last year. I'd just come off from my own panel. It had gone very well. The perfect time to meet someone that I admired and be like, you know, I'm clearly an industry professional, not just a fan. And I bumped into Harrison Ford coming from the stairs. But instead of sort of like introducing myself as a fellow movie actor and artist, I giggled and just ran away.
And we understand that, like, Star Wars played an important role. I mean, you were in some sort of, you were under anesthesia, and Star Wars somehow brought you out of this?
Yes, my mom has it on a list of things to do in case I ever go into a coma. I was in a hospital. I was having a birthmark removed when I was a kid. I had a little mark on my head, and I was under anesthetic, and somebody was watching Star Wars on the ward, and the sound of R2-D2 screaming brought me out of my anesthetic.
And I know this is difficult for you, but you write about a lot of personal things in your book, and this is one of them, and it's a bit of a trauma. I wanted to talk to you about the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, God.
They were hard for you. And I
think they were hard for a lot of people.
They were. But, yeah, I know. But so this was tough.
Jar Jar Binks.
You'd grown up with Star Wars. You'd wrote your thesis about it, and you go to the theater, as I'm sure, like, say, for example, I did, so excited. And there you are.
Peter, I feel like you're living vicariously through Simon.
I know. I am. This is like listening to you being in therapy right now.
I think we're doing good work here, and I think we need to let Simon talk.
How did that make the both of you feel?
Oh, God, don't.
Now, all right. But what would you say? Okay, what would you say if George Lucas called you and asked you if you would consider playing the young Jar Jar Binks in another prequel?
There aren't curse words bad enough for what I
Simon, you sound like such a normal guy, but you're in all these amazing movies. Do you ever have like a movie star diva moment?
I killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. And he got away with it. Yeah. Why? Because he's a movie star. They can do that. They get like, what, 5 kills before they get in trouble? I think it's like a thing they do.
Yeah.
I can't wait for number 5.
Your book is called Nerd Do Well. Is there anything out there that's too nerdy even for you? Have you ever met somebody who's in some cultural subculture so weird you're like, oh my God, that's just too strange?
Babylon 5.
Really? You draw the line at Babylon 5.
You can't. You can be nerdy about lots of things. You know, you can be nerdy about food and football and all sorts. And you know, there are sports nerds that I don't understand.
Right. What's the point with sports? They never fly, for example. That seems always
disappointing
to me.
Look at with the Canucks. I mean, that was, you know, those people, they cared a lot so much that they destroyed their own city.
Right. You don't see Star Wars fans rioting because the rebels lost the Battle of the Ice Planet of Hoth, do you?
You should have been in the theater I was in when The Phantom Menace was on. Believe me, they were there.
Well, Simon Pegg, we're delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play.
And he makes a poke check while head digging in the grease.
You have no idea what Carl's talking about, most likely, because he's talking about hockey. This is a sport that's a bit like soccer, played with sticks on ice. And this week they had a big game of some sort. So we thought we'd ask you 3 questions about this very real and interesting sport, which has fans all over the world, including outside Canada.
I'm going to ace this. I went to one game once. This is going to be... you picked the wrong subject. I'm going to know everything.
You went to a hockey game once.
Tom Cruise took me to a hockey game. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute.
You dropped something.
Yeah, don't hit your foot.
Tom Cruise took you to a hockey game?
Yeah.
Did he just call you up out of the blue and say, let's go see some hockey? How did that come about?
No, we're doing Mission Impossible in Canada, and the Canucks are playing, so we went to see them. And it was a lot of fun. I can't understand anything that happened that night because it was confusing and there were lots of men fighting and it was cold. I still don't get it, though.
Well, that's okay, because if you get 2 questions right, you will win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their voicemail. Carl, who is Simon Pegg playing for?
Simon is playing for Joseph Trebing of Manassas, Virginia.
Here.
Joseph!
Hey!
Hey!
Here's your first question, Simon. Hockey goes back quite a long way. Back in 1916, in fact, there was a Canadian hockey team with the official name of what? A, the Edmonton Swastikas, B, the Toronto Foaming Mooses, or C, the Vancouver Fungi?
I know what it is.
I know this.
All right. If you want to take a second to call Tom Cruise, you can. I'm sure he'll know.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B? The Toronto Foaming Mooses?
Yeah.
No.
No, it was actually the Edmonton Swastikas.
Yes.
Really?
Did you know that?
How
it was
did you know that?
The reason I knew that is because it would be really nasty for you to entrap someone into saying something like that if it weren't the answer. Like, if you know what I mean? It would have been really nasty if he had said, like, oh, the Edmonton Swastikas. Then we would all have been like, why did you think that? It's the wrong answer. So it had to be the right answer.
You're right. I wouldn't be that mean. But yes, it was the Edmonton Swastikas. It was a girls' hockey team. And I want you to picture 1916, all these nice, proper Canadian girls sitting there with their hockey sticks and their sweaters with swastikas on them. Because we all know, until it was ruined by some people we won't mention, the swastika was actually a perfectly acceptable symbol and used all over the world. So, you know, just funny crosses. No biggie. All right. You have two more chances here.
It's very hard to goose step in ice skates.
This is. The winner of this is your second question. The winner of the Stanley Cup gets to keep the trophy for a year. So, for example, the Boston Bruins, who just won, each members of their team will carry it around with them for a period of time. After his team won the Cup in 1996, one member of the Colorado Avalanche used it to do what? A, brew beer. B, baptize his daughter right in it. Or C, catch rain from a leaking roof in his house.
Oh, I hope it's B.
Me
I'm sorry,
too.
I'm not playing. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I can't get those sexy Nazi skaters out of my head.
I know, it's terrible.
It's B again, I'm going B.
You're right, he baptized his daughter.
Yay!
Yeah.
To our knowledge, two hockey players to date have used it to baptize their children. Last question, if you get this right, you win it all. Hockey is enjoyed by a few isolated enthusiasts in most of the world, but it is quite popular in Canada. In fact, it's so popular in Canada that one of these things is now true. A, hospitals in British Columbia had to stop surgeons from talking about hockey during surgery. B, the number one first name given to baby boys in the year 1987 was Gretzky. Little Gretzky McKenzie. Or C, a law was passed making body checking in grocery stores illegal.
Oh.
I'm going to go with A.
A, hospitals in British Columbia can't let the surgeons talk about hockey?
Yeah.
You're right. That's the problem.
Wow.
They found out that surgeons were talking about hockey too much. They were getting distracted, so they had to stop. Congratulations. Carl, how did Simon Pegg do in our quiz?
He had two correct answers, Peter. That's good enough to win for Joseph Treving. Congratulations,
Yay!
Simon.
Yay! Simon Pegg is a writer, actor, and author of the new book, Nerd Do Well. Simon Pegg, thank you so much for playing our game.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon.
Simon.
Great to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm going to play me some hockey, hockey. Look, Mom, I'm playing hockey, just a little ice hockey, hockey. Woo. I forgot my jockey. I never played in the big league, but good golly, how I wish I had.
Thanks, everybody. In just a minute, Carl's children celebrate Father's Day by giving him a new neck rhyme. It's a listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Faith, as you know, Mitt Romney is trying to lose his stiff robo-candidate demeanor this time around. And he's been pretty successful, perhaps in part because of his habit of doing what when he's meeting with groups of female voters.
Oh, I wish it were copping a feel.
It's in fact the opposite.
Keeping his hands to his...
No.
His
reverse that relationship.
Oh, letting them grab and grope him?
I will give it to you. What he does is he pretends that they have. This is apparently a joke that he does. He pretends that people goose him.
What?
A lot of people have a standard ice-breaking technique when meeting strangers. It's very common. You might, for example, compliment their clothing. You might ask where they went to school. You might tweet them a picture of your crotch. You can do any of these things. But Mitt Romney, apparently, one of the things he likes to do is if he's posing with ladies for a picture, is he likes to jump up in horror as if one of the people around him made a grab for some Massachusetts. All right? He did this
that's
this
really
week.
Cute.
I know, so he was caught on camera doing it this week while posing for a picture with some waitresses in New Hampshire. We're told he's done it before. Also, for big laughs, Romney likes to pretend he's a social conservative who doesn't believe in abortion rights. he's been telling a lot of jokes this week, and he's been proving he does not have a sense of humor. And we want to share this with you. This is another attempt at humor. He also made this joke at a diner. This is a direct quote of Mitt Romney. Quote, I saw the young man over there with Eggs Benedict with hollandaise sauce with the eggs there, and I was going to suggest to you that you serve your eggs with hollandaise sauce in hubcaps because there's no plates like chrome for the hollandaise.
Whoa. Oh, jeez. That's just...
That is a long way to go.
So wait a minute.
A lot of jokes.
Wait a second. Wow. We're electing my Uncle Mike?
Apparently. Luke, scientists have tried to figure out for years why humans developed their powers of reason. Was it to help survive without fur or claws, to outcompete other larger, more powerful animals in the hunt for prey? Well, a new theory says that we developed our high intelligence in order to do what to our fellow man?
Oh, I feel like I'm not gonna like the answer to this. Is it about being like mean to our fellow man
yes,
in some way?
It is.
It's. Can I have another hint? Because I kind of already had that one in my head, so that doesn't even count as a hint.
Convince us you're right with your answer.
Can I have a hint from Peter?
Actually, her hint was actually quite good.
Oh, okay. To lie to people or to talk people into things?
Right. Basically, to win arguments. To show other people that they're wrong. That's why we developed intelligence. It turns out the reason human beings developed intelligence was not to be better hunters or better survive against other species, but to win arguments. See, the thing that's always puzzled people about human intelligence, how humans got so smart, is why humans are still so stupid. Because we continually believe things that are incorrect and behave irrationally. And so people evolved, it turns out, the ability to convince themselves they were right, even when they were full of it.
Oh.
You see, that's the explanation.
That's interesting.
Does this mean that politicians are the most evolved among us?
Exactly. So while it's true your caveman ancestor was walking around like, there was also another caveman interrupting, saying, actually, it's pronounced, yeah. Faith, this week we read about a growing trend among expectant fathers. They're having what?
Mm. Oh, that sounds lovely. I like that.
Well,
you know what it is?
Well, I'm guessing.
Well,
oh, no, it's not my question.
Act it out.
Faith, can you guess? New tradition for expecting fathers?
It's great.
Shower. A baby
yeah.
Shower.
Yes. Exactly. No, they're not called baby showers for expectant dads. They're called dadchiller parties. Known as man showers or daddy moons.
A man shower sounds really
so disgusting.
I know.
A man shower is what you get when you haven't taken a real shower in a long time.
No, a man shower.
Daddy moon is no peach, by the way.
Daddy moon?
In terms of grossness.
Here's the idea. You know that baby showers are usually for the woman's friends to come over and give her stuff.
And they're the most boring thing that
ever
happens.
Well, you know, but you get stuff for the baby. It's all about preparing to have a baby. Dadchiller parties are about getting ready to lose your freedom. But to become so there's lots of drinking and gambling and carousing. Mm.
And the doula gives you a lap dance.
Exactly. But I am, as I mentioned from time to time, I am the parent of children. And if they really wanted to celebrate, they would just do things that they're not going to be able to do once they have babies.
Sleep.
For 8 hours. That would be great. Have clothes without stains.
Have sex with their wives.
For example.
Yeah.
I was just in Hawaii.
Yes.
And I was watching hula dancers, and it's so relaxing just to watch him. And I kept thinking, I bet, like, if you were a lady and you were going into labor and a hula dancer came in, it would be so relaxing that the baby would just kind of come out really easily. He's just, like, I don't know. I bet a hula dancer can get the baby out of you, like, just so easily.
Is this, on, is this on your new blog, Mo Rocca, the world's worst obstetrician.net?
It's just amazing. Like, a hula doula would be incredible.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our June 30th show in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Ashley Bryan. I'm calling from Carrollton, Texas.
Hey, how are things in Carrollton?
It's beautiful here.
I know. It's a beautiful week. Everybody's having a good time wherever they are. That's nice to hear. What do you do there in Carrollton?
I'm an administrative assistant at one of the largest adult beverage distributors in the South.
Oh, wow.
What's an adult beverage?
Wine, spirit.
Oh, okay.
Beer.
Wow. So,
or it's, as I call it, medicine.
Yeah. Well, Ashley, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks. Your job, of course, complete them. Say that last word or phrase. Do that two times out of three. You'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here's your first limerick.
The Army is shouting, hooray! We'll adapt to headwear of today. Got a slick patrol cap and no more faux French crap. We're tossing away the...
beret.
Right. Nothing tells the world you're a lethal fighting machine, like wearing the same hat as Salvador Dali. But the U.S. Army has decided to stop issuing berets. Soldiers have complained about them since they were introduced Army-wide in 2001, back when they were still known as Freedom Hats. The Army is now looking for something more intimidating than a beret, which would include any hat ever invented, including a mariachi sombrero or a yarmulke knitted by your Jewish aunt in Boca.
The berets cost $11 each, and they're being replaced by just service caps, which are $6. Why would a beret cost $11?
They're buying them in the back of the New Yorker.
Here is your next limerick.
A courthouse should have some more class, but we peer up the robes as they pass. They can't miss our glares as they go up the stairs. Because each step's made of clear, see-through
glass.
Right. On Monday, the new $105 million courthouse in Franklin, Ohio opened, and many aren't happy about the glass staircase, especially people who have to walk it wearing skirts. They're considering changing the design, but for now they're just hoping people will be mature, not stand under it. Look up. To that, Judge Julie Lynch at the courthouse says, if we had mature people that didn't violate the law, we wouldn't have this building. Unquote.
That's funny.
Here's your last limerick.
Though my body is far below par, on the road I still feel like a star. My health's in decline, but my motor runs fine because I take good care of my
car.
Yes. According to a recent study by Men's Health Network, 70% of American men said they find it easier to care for their car's health than their own health. And many are more likely to get their car repaired than get themselves repaired. It seems crazy, self-defeating, but if you've ever had your own oil changed, you'd understand.
It's the dipstick.
Yeah,
that
really.
Is so uncomfortable.
Keep checking. Carl, how did Ashley do?
Very well, Peter. Ashley, you had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Well, think of you the next time we're drinking in Texas. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you.
He said, I've got the time and I've got the parts. Just give me the word and I'm ready to start. I think we can bring her in for $800. But don't be downhearted. I can fix it for you, sonny. It won't take too long. It'll just take money.
All right. Now it is time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Luke Burbank has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Faith Saley has 3. Mo Rocca has 2.
I see. All right, Mo, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Ayman al-Zawahiri was announced as the new leader of blank.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. Ben Bernanke warned this week about using the blank as a bargaining chip to force budget cuts.
Debt ceiling.
Yes. On Wednesday, President Obama became the first president to visit blank since John F. Kennedy.
Puerto Rico.
Yes. Riots erupted in Vancouver after the Boston Bruins beat the Canucks for this year's blank.
The Stanley Cup.
Exactly. A woman in China following signs directing drivers to a mall parking lot ended up blanking.
Driving into the mall.
Right, down a shopping mall staircase. Just days before the wedding, Playboy July cover girl, Crystal Harris, broke off her engagement to blank.
Hef.
Right, Hugh Hefner. After 6 months of recuperation, Arizona Congresswoman blank was released from her hospital.
Gabrielle Giffords.
Right, trying to make a romantic gesture to sweep a local woman off her feet. A man in Poland blanked.
Dropped her.
No. Took his shirt off and rode his horse into her living room.
Top.
This man had seen romance novel covers, so he knew what women want. It's right there. Every damn one of them has a bare-chested guy and a horse. So after a few drinks at the pub, he stripped off his shirt, he climbed onto his horse, and he rode right into his neighbor's living room, not letting little things like doors or actually knowing her get in the way. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had a great round, Peter. 7 correct
well
answers.
Well done, Mo.
14 more points. He now has 16 points, and Mo has the lead.
All right. Very good, Mo. All right, Faith, you're in second place. You're up next. Here
okay.
we go. Fill in the blank. 5 informants who helped pinpoint Osama bin Laden's location were arrested by the military in blank.
Pakistan.
Right. High winds created difficulties for crews fighting the blank in Arizona this week.
Wildfire.
Right. The European stock market fell this week in part because of fears over the debt crisis in blank.
Greece.
Yes, War Horse and the Book of Mormon were the big winners at this year's blank awards.
Tony's.
Right, the European Union may fine France millions of dollars for its failure to protect blank.
Carla Bruni.
No, the great hamster of Alsace. Britain's Ministry of Defense refused to confirm reports that Prince Harry had been cleared to return to duty in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right after he was criticized for a homophobic rant during a show in Nashville, comedian blank announced he's returning to apologize.
Tracy Morgan.
Right. Police in Poland were upset when a riot control training exercise pitted them against blank.
Drunken men on horses.
No. Although there are some of them in Poland. No, they're upset when for a riot control training exercise, they were told to subdue a mob of giggling schoolgirls.
Luke, were you in Poland?
No.
The police were outfitted with body armor, helmets, and batons and were told they'd be practicing to put down rioting soccer hooligans. So they felt pretty silly when around the corner came a bunch of schoolgirls giggling hysterically and waving water bottles. It got more absurd when the police turned and ran, unable to deal with the cutting mockery of adolescent girls.
I don't think Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is ever going to be invited to Warsaw.
No, I don't think so. Carl, how did Faith do in our quiz?
She had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, but Mo still has the lead with 16
All
points.
Right.
How did that happen?
I just want to point out that they've now used up all of the easy questions.
Yes. Right.
It's true. It's true.
All right. How many then does Luke need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Here you go, Luke. This is for you. Don't disappoint Mo by tying. This is for the game, fill in the blank. A group of 10 congressmen announced plans to sue President Obama over U.S. involvement in blank.
Afghanistan.
In Libya. Officials finally determined that the E. coli outbreak in Europe was caused by German blank.
Sprouts.
Right. According to a new report, the number of people using the social networking site blank in Britain and North America has dropped precipitously.
Facebook.
Right. In honor of the Dallas Mavericks' victory over the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals, the governor of blank proposed a resolution honoring the team.
Texas.
Ohio, they're still mad. Kentucky Fried Chicken plans to donate $1 to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation for every blank sold.
Large soda.
Yes, a 64-ounce mega jug Pepsi, in fact. Curators of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have preserved Lady Gaga's blank dress and have it on display.
Meat.
Yes, a birthday party at a restaurant in Seattle ended unexpectedly when blank.
It closed in the middle of the party.
Exactly right, when the restaurant went out of business. When the manager of the Seattle Marie Callender's restaurant said the restaurant was shutting down immediately, he meant immediately, right now, not 5 minutes, but now. Get out, birthday boy. 25 partygoers had their forks practically snatched out of their hands, and as they were hustled out the door, the birthday boy was heard to exclaim, "Yay, I got my wish." Carl, did Luke do well enough to win?
He needed at least 6 to tie, but Luke had just 5 correct answers.
Oh, so close.
With 16 points, Morocco is this week's champion.
I beat you.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists after the beer summit and now the golf summit, what will be President Obama's next big summit? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for home ownership at houselogic.com. Chase, offering the Marriott Rewards Premier credit card, details at marriottpremier.com/radio. And Esurance, offering 24/7 customer support and mobile apps. Esurance, car insurance, people when you want them, technology when you don't. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be Obama's next big summit? Luke Burbank.
Well, it's going to be more of a web summit between Anthony Weiner and Debbie, a very foxy cocktail waitress from Scottsdale.
Mo Rocca.
It's a beer nuts summit with Anthony Weiner, Christopher Lee, and John Edwards.
And Faith Saley.
Obama will bring the entire city of Cleveland together with LeBron James on the White House lawn for a game of horse.
And if any of those summits take place, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Luke Burbank, Faith Saley, Mo Rocca. Thanks to all of you for listening. All of you, I am Peter Sagal. We'll see you again next week. This is NPR.